The first lesson for today is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, beginning at verse 1. Then, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands over your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress that has not happened from the first time that there was a nation until that time. At that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many who are sleeping in the dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, to everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who bring many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again that word from our Old Testament lesson, Daniel chapter 12. I'll read just verse 2. Many who are sleeping in the dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame, to everlasting contempt. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, did you know there's a book about you? That's pretty cool to think, isn't it? We think about the people that books are written about. They're famous people in history, people who have done great, amazing things. Imagine being written in a history book, or even maybe just to be mentioned in a book on the New York Times bestseller list. How cool that would be to be in the acknowledgments, have your name actually written in a book. You'd want to tell everybody about that. We are written in a book. And it's a much greater accolade than any name that's written in a New York Times bestseller, or even more famous than any historian who's ever written about any person in history. What a blessing it is, as we hear about today, our names that are written in this book. What a grace it is from our God that we're among that many. And you think about the book that has been written, that our names are found in. These verses before us are perhaps some of the most comforting and reassuring passages in all of the Old Testament, perhaps in all of Scripture. Jesus quotes them, or refers to them at least, two times, two different places in his gospel. And here you have clearly acknowledged truths that, interestingly, even in Jesus' time, were denied by those many Jewish people. The truth clearly stated and expressed in the Old Testament, which didn't happen often. The truth of the resurrection. The truth of life after death and a life eternal to come. Stated here in these verses. And guess whose name is there? Yours. What a grace that is for us today as we ponder these wonderful words from the book of Daniel chapter 12 to see that you are found written in the book to be delivered from distress and to awake to everlasting life. Daniel knew his share of distress. His book is kind of like a revelation of the Old Testament, at least especially the second half of it, chapters 7 through 12. It's prophecy. An incredible prophecy, too. It's a picture of cosmic war of good and evil, God against the forces of Satan. It looks into the future, and with incredible detail, specific prophecy is written by Daniel. Specific details about a very specific person, Antiochus Epiphanes, who would bring the abomination that causes desolation in that time between the Old Testament and New Testament. How he would desolate the temple by setting up a pagan sacrifice within it. Amazing things that Daniel wrote about here in his book, largely of prophecy. But You know, Daniel didn't really have to write about distress that was coming in the future. Daniel experienced it himself. You think about the distress that Daniel had to undergo. He was taken into exile, and while he was away in exile, the nation that took him away destroyed his home and his temple and the worship and slaughtered the nation to which he belonged. And he saw distressing things too, thrown into a lion's den. He saw the rise and fall of nations. He lived through Babylon and then Persia and the Medes. This was a very personal thing for Daniel then, as he wrote about things to come in the future, because he lived through distressing times himself. What a comfort for Daniel then. The God who gave these incredibly detailed and specific revelations about things that would come in the future, that same God had Daniel's name written into his book. But Daniel did prophesy about distresses to come. That first passage, verse 1, there will be a time of distress that has not happened from the first time that there was a nation until that time. Looking beyond, looking to the future of trouble to come. Great trouble, trouble like has never been seen before in this world. This is the first passage that Jesus refers to when he prophesies about the end time and also about the destruction of Jerusalem to come in 70 AD. Jesus speaks about that in Matthew chapter 24. And he even names Daniel by name as the prophet who speaks about these things. And here he almost quotes these verses, these words here, the time of distress that has not happened from the first time that there was a nation until that time. Great trouble that will come in the future. Well, the distress hasn't ceased. It wasn't just one particular time that Daniel is talking about, that Jesus was talking about. For 2,500 years, Jerusalem has been assaulted. Pagan worship has been placed there prominently on that mount where the temple once stood, in that Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. And for Jews around the world, assaults continue to be made. Distress continues. So what is Daniel talking about? Well, he's not just talking about one particular nation when he speaks of your people to Daniel. Those people of Daniel doesn't just refer to the Jewish race. It refers to you, to believers, to the true people of God, who in another place are called children of Abraham by faith. Yes, we're saved just as Abraham was saved through faith in the Messiah who came to rescue us from sin and death and hell, to save us from all of that distress. That's how we understand that definition of your people that Daniel writes about here. That's what the descriptor of such people, everyone who is found written in the book, that's you, believer. That's you, dear child of God. That's you and me. So how are we delivered from distress? Distressing times continue for us too. Still today, we're attacked for a foolish faith in a God who died. We're assaulted and criticized for believing in things that we can't see. We can't prove by empirical evidence, so the godless, unbelieving world claims, and they might be right. We can't see God with our eyes. We weren't there to see Christ rise from the dead. We have no empirical evidence to prove that there is a life after this one, that there is a resurrection of all flesh. Such distressing attacks and assaults on our faith, our trust in God, who stands, who arose, who came to rescue us. And what we can see, what we do experience, that's distressing too. That's troubling. Things that we can't escape. Things that empirical evidence points to again and again. And that's the grave, which comes and attacks us repeatedly in the people that we love. And then we stare at ourselves in the face too. Those are distressing things. But even in these distressing times, even facing the possibility, the reality of my mortality, what do we have? Daniel gives us encouragement as he reminds us that we're written in his book, and because of it, we have God's protection. Here Daniel points to the holy angels that guard us. What a stand they take as he speaks about Michael, that great prince who stands over his people. He takes his stand for us, that mighty warrior who fights for us. God has made his promises. Throughout the midst of all of the distresses that we face in our life, the temptations to doubt and to turn away from God, trust in God's promises to us, the fear of death itself for us, God's mighty warriors, his angels, still active in protecting us today as he promises that they deliver us from evil. But even more than the mighty angels that God gives to us, we have a greater prince. We have an even greater warrior, that Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took his stand against our greatest enemy of all, Satan, death, and hell. He stood. And he arose, stood victorious over our fiercest enemies. That's how we are delivered from distress. This picture of deliverance in the Hebrew is a beautiful one. The word for deliver at its root means to slip through. Squeeze as Satan might like upon our faith, upon our life, upon our soul, press that distress into us as mightily as he might try. We slip right through his death grip. We pass through the distress of trouble and toil and pain and sorrow, yes, even death. We slip through death as we pass through that portal to eternal life with God in heaven. What a deliverance from our Savior, our champion, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be found written in the book. That's what it means to be among those people of Daniel, your people, God says. Yes, you are among those people of Daniel, those people of God. In the midst of the greatest stress and distress, you are delivered. God is there to protect you, and God will bring you safely through all of the challenges that you face in this life, home to heaven. That term, at that time, refers specifically to a great time of distress, but it can be applied to every believer, whether it was for the believers in the second century before Christ, when Antiochus destroyed that temple and set up his altar to the pagan god, for those who faithfully trusted the Messiah to come to save them from that time, or whether it was in the first century after Christ ascended into heaven, in 70 AD, where that temple was again destroyed by Rome, great distress to all the land and people. Or whether it's the distress that comes to us in the Antichrist over the last 15 centuries, clouding that gospel with the false teaching of work righteousness for salvation. The struggles that believers face still today in the midst of this age of reason, which says that if I can't see it, it must not be true. We live in those distressing times as believers, that time between Christ's first coming to save us and Christ's second coming, which we still await, where believers are preserved in faith throughout life, even to the point of death, and then in death awarded that crown of life. Daniel encourages all of us in the midst of our distresses that we delivered from distressing things in life and taken home to heaven by death. But verses 2 and 3 speak of another event. They speak of the end, the real end of all things in this life. They speak of judgment day. Yes, that time, that day is coming too. But that day is not a day of distress for the believer. It's not a day of distress at all for those who are found written in the book. That's Daniel's message to all in every age who believe in Christ. On that day when the Lord appears, the judge, we will awaken to everlasting life. Yes, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. All flesh will see him and we as believers, both those who are living and those who have died, will be glorified. And Daniel speaks of that glory that is ours. Many who are sleeping in the dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life. Yet not every believer will have died when Jesus returns. There will still be believers on this earth living as the word of our God endures forever. And that word is always effective, preserving and bringing to faith. Living believers will be found to receive that blessed reward of eternal life in heaven when Jesus returns. But all those also who have died will also receive that reward. The many who have died, who sleep in the dirt of Adam, the consequence of our sins, from dust you were, and to dust you shall return. Those who have died and sleep in that dust, they will awake from death. Our bodies will rise physically on Judgment Day. What a glorious day that will be for every believer. That life that we will have, it will be a radiant life. A life in which we shine as brightly as the stars of heaven. Verse 3 of our text speaks specifically of the public ministry of the gospel. Those who have learned the truths of Scripture well, those who have taught those truths to others, will shine like the stars in the sky. They will be radiant and glorious. Think of the honor that God gives to the public ministry of the gospel in this text. What a glory for those who believed and then shared that gospel truth with others. Young kids, do you want to make a difference in this world? Gain insight from the Word of God as you consider pursuing the public ministry. There you have a chance to change not just lives. There you have a chance to change eternities. Do you want to put your hand to a work that lasts, that brings honor to God, and also makes you shine for eternity like stars forever and ever? Then consider devoting your life to bringing many to that righteousness that Christ has won for us. Look at the praise that God gives to the public ministry. Look at the honor that He will give to all public ministers. What a glory awaits us, that eternal life in heaven. But at the same time as the public ministry is so highly honored, you shouldn't think that such high honor is reserved exclusively just for public ministers. Moms, you know this truth too. You've imparted that wisdom that you have received by the gift of the Holy Spirit with your children too. Dads, you know your Savior. What a privilege you have as the head of your own households to do the important work of making your home a house where God the Lord dwells by His Holy Spirit. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord, and you shine with the glory of the righteousness of God in heaven. Let your home be one that is filled with God and His Word to your family, at your dinner table, at your bedsides. Let your home be filled with the righteousness that is yours and your children's through faith in Christ. Look at how you, who have gained such insight for yourself, will shine like the stars in the sky in the glory of heaven forever. Because your names are written in the book. Write your children's names into that book as well. Point them to that good book, where true insight is gained, that book where true wisdom is acquired, to know the right life of your Savior Jesus for you, a perfect life lived for you, and then a perfect sacrifice made for you to take away all of your sins, and a resurrection from death to assure that deliverance and distress and that happy home of heaven is yours, most certainly. Let your children, your families, your homes be one in which Judgment Day is not feared. Let your homes be ones that are eager to receive the Lord when He returns, filled with people who can't wait for His appearing, who are so excited to meet Jesus because they know that that day will be a day of celebration and victory for all who were troubled, for all who were distressed, for all who toiled and worked and suffered in this life, believing in the midst of it all in that glorious life to come forever in heaven. And you will shine. Isn't it cool to know that you're in that book? Better than your name in some New York Times bestseller. You're in God's book. You are in the book of life. You will be delivered from distress, and you will awake from death to the glories of eternal life with Jesus forever in heaven. Oh, how we shine as that people of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.